Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, humility and confidence. To any ungodly person, these two are incompatible. The world reasons that if you always eat humble pie, you cannot possibly be a confident person, because a confident person does not eat humble pie. That's how the world thinks, you see. Yet the believer knows differently, both from experience and also from the Word of God itself. Because a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ knows, or should know, something about what it means to be humble and what it means to be confident all at the same time. And dear people, these two aspects, these two characteristics do fit very well by any who desire to celebrate the Lord's Supper as we hope to next Sunday, the Lord willing. Humility and yet confidence. Now, we have such compatibility of humility and confidence in a Canaanite woman, as our text makes out very clearly for us in the passage we have read together. And so let us then consider this passage for our personal and for our congregational preparations for the Lord's Supper. And we'll do it according to the following theme and division: humility and confidence in a Canaanite woman. We see, in the first place, a discouraging situation. In the second place, a courageous faith. And then thirdly, an encouraging answer. So, humility and confidence in a Canaanite woman. We see a discouraging situation, first of all. Now, congregation, Jesus has crossed the borders of the land of Israel and has gone into the northern part of Tyre and Sidon, a foreign territory, in other words, for reasons that will soon become apparent to us as well. One thing we can tell you already is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ will show again what a seeking and saving Savior He is. Well then, in this foreign land, Jesus meets up with a Canaanite woman who is in great need. You read already in verse 22 that her daughter is severely demon-possessed. Will Jesus help? Well, the disciples are of the opinion that no, He will not help her. This Canaanite woman is really an embarrassment to them. And they do not think that really she is worth the effort and the time of the Lord Jesus. Well, it appears that at first, Jesus also seems to think in that same line. After all, why should He pay attention to someone who is not Jewish and who is not part of the chosen covenant people? Why should He pay attention to them? More yet, this woman is a member of a race that has at one time been condemned by God. She's a daughter of Canaan. And according to Genesis 9, you can read there that the Canaanites, or those descendants of Canaan, are an accursed race. In other words, this woman is a person who does not deserve to live and is by birth and by race on the blacklist. Most discouraging, wouldn't you say? Most discouraging. She does not deserve to get any attention from the Lord Jesus. And Jesus makes it quite clear to her as well. When you read, for instance, in verse 24, where He tells her, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, that seems to close the door for her, doesn't it? She is not from the house of Israel. She cannot claim Abram as her father. Her only link to the human race is her father, Adam, the man who fell away from God. And as you know, that of course happened already way long ago in the Garden of Eden. And then her closer father is Father Canaan, the first man who was cursed by God after the flood. Nothing to boast about. And then there's something else yet. Satan is busy at work in her life. Her daughter, so we are told, is severely demon-possessed. And that can wreak havoc in the family. When one is demon-possessed, it's as if Satan has entered the family life and does all the destructive work that he could possibly do. Satan is hard at work in her life and in her family, in her household. And Satan has apparently made life very, very miserable for this woman, for her daughter, and for those around them as well. And again, a most discouraging situation. Now, congregation, can this sort of discouraging situation not also be somewhat transposed upon us as well? Let's be realistic. We are not part of the Jewish nation, nor are we part of the household of Israel by birth. We have no physical links to Father Abraham. Abram is not our natural father. Adam is. Adam. And through Adam and through Eve, our parents, we have fallen away from God. And we too have become exposed to the curse and to condemnation itself. And what about the effects that Satan has had in our life? By means, as you know, by means of our sin, he has made it miserable for us. All of us, no doubt, can show some scars of what Satan has done in the past in our life. And again, also that can be very discouraging for us as well. A discouraging situation. However, and this will become clear later on, in our need, the needs that we have, we too have begun to look for help. But even in our looking for help, spiritual help, we can still encounter discouraging things. And no doubt you may have experienced that too in the past. This Canaanite woman, she found Jesus and she expressed her troubles to him. But now it appears that Jesus is not ready to give her any type of answer. And when Jesus does finally give her an answer, she gets to hear something that is very, very hard to hear. Woman, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, woman, my mission is in Israel. There is where I must gather the sheep, the lost sheep. And then, as if to close off the conversation, and as it were, close it off for this woman, Jesus tells her that it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. That's a stinger, isn't it? A stinger. To hear it said of you, whose help you are calling for, whose help you are seeking, who you are pleading for, you are nothing but a dog. And it is not good for me to help you. Just imagine for a moment, congregation, imagine what a discouragement this must have been for this woman. But can we not also at times be faced with similar discouragements in a spiritual sense? You know your troubles, and you know also that you need help, and so you know that in your need for help, you go in prayer to the Lord, and you lay your distress before Him. But you're not getting any answers. You're not getting any answers. That can be discouraging, can't it? when it seems that the Lord does not hear, and when He does not answer you, discouraging. When you pray and you pray and you pray, but your prayers don't seem to go anywhere. Discouraging, to say the least. How easy it is then to say, well, it's no use. God doesn't hear. God doesn't answer my prayers anymore. I might as well give up. And then you come to church in order to be instructed by the Word. And in all the discouraging things that you have experienced already, you get to hear in church that we are all sinners. We're all sinners. Perhaps you think at this point, well, maybe it's better for me to just go off into the world, because there at least you will be told to feel good about yourself. Or perhaps you think, you know, I'm better off to just go to another church. Oh, maybe a little less reformed, maybe, but where things are a little bit lighter, things are a little bit livelier, because there I'm told that I'm basically good. But here in this church, we're told that we're all basically sinners. How discouraging. Have you ever felt that way about our church, dear people? Have you ever thought that? No hope here? Is it a right approach that our church is taking? And that we have to call each other sinners by nature? Is that the right approach? Well, I must tell you, with my hand on Scripture, that Jesus Christ also takes that same approach, and He does so with this Canaanite woman. He tells her some very basic facts about herself, even sharper than being told that she is a sinner. He tells her that she is a Gentile dog. Now, why does Jesus speak to her in that way? That's not very civil, is it? We wouldn't talk that way. Why does He speak to her in that way? Was it in order to chase her away empty, depressed, and discouraged? No, far from it. There's rhyme and reason behind what Jesus is doing here, you see. Jesus is actually building up her faith. He is doing something in her that He alone can do, so that He can actually begin to call her a courageous faith. And let's look at that in the second place. Now, congregation, carefully notice and observe how this Canaanite woman reacts to Jesus' charge that she is nothing but a dog. She doesn't argue the point. She doesn't get angry and turn around and leave. She accepts it with humility. And we hear that in the very answer, short answer, but we hear that in the answer that she gives. And she says, "Yes, Lord, yes." As if to say, "Lord, I have nothing to bring against it. What You have said is true." Now that takes courage, dear people. That takes courage to accept all of that hands down. It takes courage, you see, to bow under the word of the Lord Jesus Christ when He confronts us, you and me, with our basic problems. And then to say, as this Canaanite woman has responded, "Yes, Lord, You are right. You are right." Have you already reached that particular point, dear people? Have you learned to react in that way already? When the matter of the Word, when the Word comes to you and speaks to you about what it means to be a sinner by nature? And that matter comes to us regularly from the Word of God, doesn't it? And it comes from this pulpit as well. And we even have it in our forms, that we are conceived and born in sin, that we're subject to all miseries, that the matter of you and I being sinners by nature, that the matter of indwelling sin is even part and parcel of the life of a believer. But how have you reacted to this now? Has it put you on the defense? Has it perhaps put you into a state of arguing with others about this? It's not what the Lord wants. It's not what He wants. Rather, He wants you to react as this Canaanite woman reacted. She goes back to the Lord with that little bit of truth and confesses it to Him by agreeing with what He has just said about her. In other words, this Canaanite woman bowed under the word with humility. Now, this is what the Lord also wants with you and with me, dear people. A bowing under His word with humility, humbly accepting it as truth, what He has said about us personally. Now, perhaps you ask, is that really courageous faith when you learn to bow under the word of the Lord? Yes, it is. It is. It is. But there's more to it as well. As we keep observing this Canaanite woman, she doesn't lie down and play dead, so to speak, under that truth. No. But she takes this truth as she begins to use it to her full advantage in order to get a hearing ear from the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, all right, yes, yes, Lord, You have called me a Gentile dog. I accept that. I accept that. And You have said that it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I accept that too. Yes, Lord. Yet, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now, what is this Canaanite woman doing? She is not only bowing in humility under the word of the Lord, but she also took on a courageous faith, as it were. She took it on courageously, and she took that word courageously back to the Lord. They said, yes, Lord, but... And this is what you and I must do as well, dear people. When the word of truth about us comes to us, we must in humility bow under it. But at the same time, we must take this same word back to the Lord. And say, Lord, You have said this. You have said this. Now, some people have not learned to do this yet. They speak, yes, they speak about being a sinner and of being no good at all, and they basically leave it at that. They, as it were, play dead under it. But that is not what the Lord wants, dear people. Rather, He wants us to come back to Him with the very word that He has spoken to us already, like, Lord, since there is no good in me, I will have to expect it all from You. Now that, dear people, that is courageous faith. That's humility combined with confidence. Now next Lord's Day, we hope to celebrate the Lord's Supper, as has been announced already. At the table, the Lord will also be looking for humble people. Humble people. People who have learned to bow under His word. But also in combination with what it means to learn to go back to God with courage and with confidence of faith, trusting that He can make changes in our life. Yes, Lord, I am a dog for that matter. Yet even little dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Therefore, Lord, just a crumb. Just a crumb from Your table. That's all I need. Now, congregation, this is really, in a spiritual sense, the way that we are to approach the table of the Lord next Sunday. This week, therefore, think of what the word of the Lord has said to you personally. Ponder it. Ponder it. This is what this Canaanite woman did too. You know. She thought about it very carefully. The Lord calls her a dog. And so, for a few moments, she studied that little word, dog. And our translation is correct because what the Lord said, little dog, little dog. A house dog. That's what he called her. Well, then she thinks, that's something that I can take back to the Lord. I am a little dog. I am like a house dog. Well, little dogs, house dogs, are those who are allowed to come indoors, and they are allowed to get close up to their masters. And so, I am permitted to come to the Lord as well. And being under the table, if a crumb falls off from the table as the children spill it, Lord, I'm like a little dog. So please let me eat from the crumbs that fall from the table. That, dear people, is courageous faith. Courageous faith. This shows that humility and confidence are not incompatible. No, they fit together like hand and glove. That's courageous faith and humility at the same time. Now, these two things, dear people, are also required for celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday. Humility and confidence, confidence and humility. Lowliness of heart, in other words, and at the same time, the courage of faith. And as I said, these two aspects, they need to be together. Because just having low thoughts of self does not really cut it, does it? You might then have a deep sense of your sin, your deep sense of your unworthiness, and you know also how to talk about it in a deep way as well. And certainly we must not belittle that, dear people, especially the sense of unworthiness is something that has been worked in us by God the Holy Spirit. But my friends, we need to stay in balance with this, in balance. You must also at the same time, as you have low thoughts of yourself, have high thoughts of the Lord God. Low thoughts of self, high thoughts of the Lord God. And that, you see, that gives courage. That gives confidence. That gives courage and faith. Someone once said, great thoughts of Christ will soon bear you upward upon eagle's wings. Great thoughts of Christ. This Canaanite woman, she too had great thoughts of the Lord and of his powers. And this is why she could also come to him at that very moment with such confidence and with such courageous faith. She believed that he, Jesus Christ, was powerful enough to free her daughter from all those demonic influences. She believed that Jesus Christ could set her daughter free from Satan. And therefore she went to the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore she cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though she found all sorts of opposition, even from his disciples, she continued on. She believed that he was a lavish provider for his children, so that the bread that he gave out to his children would also drop to the little dogs who were under the table. She believed that he was a gracious master who would look kindly upon those little dogs who were busy scampering around under the table to pick up the bread that had fallen off the table. And dear people, you and I, we too must have high thoughts of the Lord. Think about that this week. Think about it. Who and what the Lord has been for you and how he has revealed himself in his word. Have high thoughts of the Lord. Because if you anticipate celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday, you must have high thoughts of the Lord. Notice I did not say that you must have high thoughts of your faith. You must not think that you have great faith already. We often do not know this of ourselves, but we boast about it sometimes. Oh, yes, I can go. But your going should be because you have high thoughts of the Lord. You must know something of how great He is. That He is a powerful Savior. That He is able to save you from all your sins, even from your sinful nature, even from the sins that still attack you from the outside and even from the inside. You must have high thoughts of Him, that He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed a very lavish provider, that He is willing and able to give you everything that you need, even as the Apostle Paul expresses it so eloquently, that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the powers, that is the powers of Christ working in us. Great and high thoughts of Him. That He is a gracious Master. That He allows us even to reason with Him, even about our sin. This is why God once said, and you can read of that in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We may reason with the Lord about our sin. He welcomes it. Have we learned to reason with the Lord already about our sin? Well, you might ask, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? Well, let me give you an example. Lord, you have said in your word that I am by nature lost. Yes, Lord, I agree with that. It is true. But you have also made it known, Lord, that you have come to seek and to save the lost and to save sinners. Lord, here I am. I'm lost by nature. I'm a sinner by nature. Therefore, seek me out and save me. It's a simple prayer, isn't it? Sometimes our prayers may be long, but are so detailed. But here's a simple prayer. Lord, by nature, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. But Lord, you have come to seek and to save the lost. Here I am. You see, this is what it means to reason with the Lord. And that is what this Canaanite woman also did. Low thoughts of self, high thoughts of the Lord, humility and confidence, courageous faith. That is what pleases the Lord. And we know this because, as we must see in the third place, she received an encouraging answer. Jesus said to this Canaanite woman, "Oh, woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." Jesus allowed this woman to persuade him, and he saved her from her distress. We are told, therefore, that her daughter was healed from that very hour. Healed of all the attacks of Satan. Jesus allowed this woman to persuade him, although she had everything against her. This woman, you see, she was permitted to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to cry out to Him, and to even reason with Him. In other words, Jesus allowed this woman to eat from the crumbs of the table that fell from the Master's table. Now, this should be an encouragement for us, all of us, dear people. Because Jesus Christ is still the same today, yesterday, and evermore. He still allows sinners to persuade Him. He will still allow sinners to make bold reasoning with Him. He will still allow sinners to press for mercy and for grace and for the crumbs that fall off the table. As long as those sinners have learned to have low thoughts of self and high and holy thoughts of Him. Humility and confidence. And this is how you and I may come to the table of the Lord next Sunday. And that is also how we should come to the table of the Lord next Sunday. Therefore, during this week of self-examination and this week of preparation, dear people, let us ask ourselves, have we learned something of that humility that this Canaanite woman showed? Low thoughts of self. But have we also learned to appreciate who the Lord Jesus Christ is? High thoughts of Him. Let us examine ourselves. Do we know something of that humility and of that confidence? Well, let us be much in prayer about that as well, that He will give us that sense of humility and that sense of, wow, look at Jesus Christ. Isn't He awesome? Amen.